Thank you for your word, your living and active word, sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, you say it pierces as far as the division of our soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is able to judge, shed light to the motives of our hearts. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Last time I think last Friday, I talked about, out of 2 Corinthians 7, kind of some things the Lord has given revelation to me about the bride, what he's doing in the body of Christ. We talked about that, just bringing us to a place of repentance, this really good repentance. When I'm talking about repentance, it's a good thing, you know. It's in the way we think, you know, afterthought, or really is about changing the way we think, right, in our mind. I think we're, too, in a time of this is singing and pruning, Song of Solomon chapter 2. Anytime there's pruning in our lives, when our Father, the vine dresser, knows how to do it just right, it's always produced singing in us, not to make us feel bad or guilty. And so the Lord has been speaking to me. This was gospel reading last week out of Luke. And Tuesday night in our Bible study, it was kind of just a fresh word for me. And I spoke about it when Jesus was actually in this this one time when they were in the boat, not the time that he came walking on the water. This is the time he's actually in there and he's asleep. And a storm raises up and it's actually the water's pouring into the boat. He's asleep. Okay. May have been out of exhaustion, but more so, he was so at peace with God. Because what he told him was, hey, guys, we're going to the other side. Right? He had already given them the word. That's where we're going, to the other side. And they lost sight of that, what he said, because of the circumstances that were happening around them. And the Luke is in chapter 8. He asks them, where's your faith? And over in Mark 4, I believe it is, he said, why are you afraid? And how is it that you have no faith? Over there he says, where's your faith? And the word afraid here, and actually translated, it'll come, in my Bible it says the word cowardly. But cowardly is really not a good word there, because when we think of cowardly, we think of like the cowardly lion from the Wizard of Oz, right? Where there's such a lack of courage. But the word actually comes from two words in the Greek that means fear-driven. And this is what he was saying to him. Guys, you're fear-driven, right? Why are you so fear-driven? Where's your faith? Trust the Lord. I've given you the word. And there's just so much. We could spend so much time on there. So many little, you know, where he was going and just so many things. We could talk about that, just, you know. But today and yesterday, it's the Lord had me in Revelation chapter 3. Just kind of pulling all this together. Because I know in my own personal life, there's just been, he just orchestrated circumstances that is just dragging some stuff up in me. And areas of my life where I was fear-driven, right? My first response was almost a panic fear, like, you know, and fear can manifest itself in so many different ways. You can have just a fear of lack, you know, a fear of abandonment, all different types of things. When this kind of comes up in you, all the different types of fears that can come. Fear of, and a real big one is a fear of rejection, fear of disapproval of people, right? The God will orchestrate our circumstances to bring that up, because that's a really big deal. Even through this all these things that happened in my life, that was one of the deals he was bringing up. Just not the fear of the circumstances, but a not wanting me ever to be fear-driven by people's opinion of me or what they think, or for my mind to automatically go to, they must be offended with me, right? Because once you start going down that road, remember, an offense always builds a fence. F-E-N-C-E. O-F-F-E-N-C-S-E. Yeah. Offense always builds a fence, right? Between people and, as always, and between you and the Lord. That's the reason he speaks so much about not But offense can come from a process of thinking. Proverbs 13:10 says, presumption leads to strife. When I start presuming that a person is thinking a certain way toward me and about me, and I start biting into that, all of a sudden I'm creating offense. I start getting offended, which creates an offense, right? So right here in Revelation, I love this scripture right here. Right at the end, the message to Laodicea. And we're speaking, writing to this church, this whole thing about being lukewarm. First time I ever heard somebody speak about this scared me to death. You know, the whole lukewarm thing, if you're not, I'd rather you hot or cold. If you're lukewarm, I won't, you know, spew you. I went to a Bible study one time. I was a new believer. And the guy said, okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, how good a Christian were you today? You know, so we were all, you know, of course all of us come in around, you know, around 7, 6, and up. You're not going to want to say 10 or you know, 1. So then he said this, okay, like if you're 1 through 3, you're cold. If you're 4 through 7, you're lukewarm. If you're 8 and 10, then you're hot. Well, the whole Bible study got spewed out, you know. We were all puked out of the Lord's mouth because we were lukewarm. So I kind of kept away from this. Let's hear what he really says here. Because I say to you, because you say, this is why he's speaking to this church. This is what they're saying. Because you say, I'm rich, I have become wealthy, I have need of nothing, but you don't know. Now, they're just kind of settled in this place of, lethargic in their walk with God, you know, kind of just apathetic in this place, forgetting their need for God and forgetting who they are apart from Christ, right? Then he goes on to say, you do not know that you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, right? He's not blaspheming. He's saying, guys, apart from Christ, that's who we would be and who we are, right? Then he says this, I advise you, that word advise really means, here's the plan. He says, I got a plan for you. Here's the plan. Buy from me or ask from me gold that is refined by the fire, that you may become rich, right? Ask this gold. Speaking of gold in Scripture, always represents just purification, God purifying, bringing forth, you know, gold in the new creation. Ask for me, and it even means passion too. There's a passion by fire. Here's the plan. Ask for me, this fiery passion for me, because I want to cleanse you. I want to cleanse some thinking you have. I want to cleanse some things that have crept up in you. It's time to deal with it. Bishop talked about that a few weeks ago. It's time to ask the Lord to catch the foxes for us. It's not time to keep putting things off that are robbing us, that are entangling us, and hindering our walk with God. It is really a season to deal with it, okay? And that's what he was talking about then. That you may become rich. White garments. And clothe yourself. The white garments speak of being clothed in Christ, reminding of who we are in Him. That the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed. Okay? It's to cover you. God's not about wanting to expose. Sometimes we're afraid of that. We're afraid that God's going to expose us in front of other people. That's not what He's about. He knows it. He just wants you to come clean with it with Him. So He can clothe you, and especially shame. He hates shame. Shame is a horrific cancer. And eye salve, I want to anoint your eyes so that you can see clearly. See, what happens to us when we start taking up offense, which creates offense? You fall into Matthew 7, where your judgment begins to be screwed up, the way you see things, right? You start, as it says, do not judge and you will not be judged. and by your standard of measure, it will be measured back to you. Well, all that is a process of thinking. When you start thinking, if you think someone's thinking about you a certain way, you start thinking about them, right? And you start developing in your mind this judgmental attitude towards them. I'll read it real quick. I thought I could quote it, but not so much. Because what happens, you start distinguishing. That word means you start distinguishing, you start separating, right? For in the way that you judge, you will be judged, and by the standard of the measure, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but you don't see the log that's in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take that speck out of your eye, behold, the log's in your own? Okay, first, take the log out of your own eye. All right. This is what this eye salve is all about. It's about cleansing the eye, removing areas where we've just begin thinking wrongly. Okay, and it begins to happen because once the offense comes in, we start building fence. Through that offense, you start seeing things screwed up really bad. Okay, and you start judging the motives of men's hearts. Okay? It's very demonic. I'm telling this from experience, right? Especially because I have a ministry and I live by faith, right? Been living by faith for 20 years. I have a ministry, Lazarus Ministries. That's how I live. And I live by support. People support me. And when you live by support, that can start happening. Because all of a sudden people support you, then they quit supporting you. You think, well, why did you quit supporting me? Oh my gosh, evidently I've done something wrong to them. And before long, that little fox comes in and he is tearing up your grape. You know, he's eating those grapes. And by entertaining that, you think, well, heck, I haven't done anything to them. And then you are just post-holing and digging, you know. And you get your feelings hurt. And they don't even have a clue, right? But the Lord allows that because what he's doing is he's dragging that up in us to cleanse us and to get that out of us, right? Where your thinking doesn't go there because it can be absolutely consuming. And then he says this, and I don't want to take too much time, but 19, I love this. For those whom I love, I reprove. You know that word reprove just means, well, something very simple, expose. We think of reproving as kind of like rebuking, right? Those whom I love, I'm going to rebuke you. No, those whom I love, I reprove. Those whom I love, I reveal. I reveal what's in you. So those I love, I expose and discipline, right? And that word discipline, we think of, oh man, I'm getting fixed to get a spanking here, you know? But the word really means to train up, to train you up. I expose to train you up because I love you. I want you to grow in your relationship with the Lord. I want to bring you to an oak of righteousness. But you can't get there if you don't allow me to expose what's there. And you don't have to be afraid. We don't have to live our lives running from the mirror. What I always use, stop, look in the mirror, right? In there, you will encounter the love of God because he is exposing to heal, okay? We don't have to be afraid of his. I just love that. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Change your thinking. That word zealous is a word, it's an onomatopoetic word. How about that? Which is like a word picture, you know? You can kind of hear and see this pot boiling over. It's a word that kind of means that. I can see and hear that pot boiling over with passion. Go, it means go for it with all your heart. And repent. Let me change your thinking. Then it goes, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Great word for salvation. You know, Jesus standing at the door of your heart and knock. But actually this word is to believers who God is saying, hey, I expose this in you. Open the door. Because I'm going to come in and we're going to fellowship. We're going to dine. He who overcomes, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, right? He who overcomes, you'll come to a place of rest in Christ, seated with him in the heavenly places. Now you're seeing things from his perspective, right? Just part of what, you know, I'm just telling you, this is what God is doing in my own personal life. And just this, so much of the fear and coming up, you know, big time, about especially for people's approval, right? He wants to take us further up and further in. And I prayed that prayer, you know, like David did. Lord, if there's any hurtful way in me, expose it. And he's so sweet to do that, isn't he? So, amen and amen. I have to stop there, running out of time.